Can you hear me now? That's what I think of when I read this gospel text. Jesus saying, can you hear me now? Going to all these different places. Can you hear me now? The Sea of Galilee looks a little bit like any other beautiful lake where you would live. And I think of the interior lakes of the Okanagan, with the sloping brown hills and the rolling hillside and the fruit trees and the vines everywhere. This lake that we're talking about in our gospel, the Sea of Galilee, and it is a lake, is surrounded by rolling hills, some of which are woodsy and some are farmland. So Jesus is sitting by this magnificent body of water, unraveling the mysteries of the universe, when his listeners simply seem to multiply. His ever-faithful friends and the disciples hoped to make the most of the occasion, so they borrowed a fishing boat, invited the crowds to come closer to the shore, and Jesus used the lake as an amphitheater and the boat as his pulpit. His words about God's rule were lofty and yet very much down to earth. Maybe he was pointing to the west, where the crowds could make out on the far hillside a speck of a man who was planting his crop. They were all familiar with the motion. Walking on the firm earth, because first century farmers planted first and plowed later, the farmer made these broad sweeps with his arm and a quick flick at the end with his wrist. He was planting the seeds. He was planting the crop. And the same breeze that cooled the crowd gently lifted the seeds and scattered them. See, Jesus said, that's the kingdom. That's how God's reign lives in people's lives. Watch the farmer. See the seeds. Jesus always teaches in the language that crowds understood. I grew up among farmers who wore bib overalls and chewed snuff. They had grime under their fingernails and smelly, poopy dirt on their boots. They raised wheat and corn and hay and had thousands of chickens, which was the women's job, sheep and cattle and pigs. They always complained in a muted but not a whining way about just the facts, with this sort of wry smile. And it was convivial and a healthy habit. In the spring, they were always restless. Their fields waited for them. It was in their very nature to plant the seed. Now their children and their children's children are hanging on by a shoestring to the family farm. They chew antacids, not snuff, and they don white shirts as they sit down with the accountants and review their agribusiness accounts. Yet they're still farmers. And in the spring, they now plant money crops of canola and winter wheat, but they, as generations before them, are restless to plant. Farmers work with the earth in a unique kind of partnership. They tend the earth, they break it up, they kill the weeds, they water the soil. Whatever the crop, they do the same thing every year. They take part in that great mystery of placing a seed in the ground, covering it, and watching it grow. The information they work with has multiplied over the decades, but they still take part in that great mystery of planting. Sometimes the seed grows, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the harvest is plentiful, and sometimes, some years, there's nothing. Next spring is always a test of the farmer's endurance and persistence and bank account. They desire always to try it again, just to see what grows. God farms the universe, but in the very nature of God is abundant love. Blinding forgiveness and compassion, those good things, all of those good things are hurled into galaxies with some kind of explosive power sent earthwards. This living word of God falls in a variety of places, as our parable testifies. In some it grows, and some it dies. But God insists on continuing to send out this word, for it is God's very nature. God is restless until the seeds are sown. God will not hoard the living word, but will continue to scatter it. You and I occupy this place where the seed falls. And in this seed that God plants is a living word that has power. As the soil must be receptive for the seed to grow, so the human ear must be responsive for this word to accomplish its purpose. Can you hear me now? Do you know the mystery of selective hearing? We hear what we want to hear and what we're ready to hear. My son, Andrew, was a math whiz. He loved math, but he wouldn't go to class. For his 3-month semester of advanced algebra, he missed all of the classes and fooled around when he got there and when he showed up, and he didn't do any of the assignments. He never heard what the teacher was saying. And Mr. McClintock often said, "Andrew, what the heck are you doing here?" A week before finals, he realized he was in trouble. So government board testing, and they still had it back in those olden days, and it was still a thing, and it was looming. An entrance to college was on the line. He was failing his best subject. He was finally very concerned with the wrath of his father, also a math genius, and became determined not to fail. So he sat front and center, listened, asked questions, turned in assignments, and did extra work. And his teacher finally said to him, "Andrew, you've been in my class for 3 months, and I've covered this stuff many times. Weren't you listening then?" Let those who have ears listen. So the final was 70% of the mark, and he aced it, getting 70%, much to the frustration of his classmates and his dad's great relief. We don't always hear very well, even when we're told so many things in so many ways, we don't always hear. We don't hear through this exhausting geopolitical, cultural, and environmental climate. Even if we have a slight awareness of our mortal nature, we gather today knowing that God the farmer is scattering the word among us, even here, even now, even today. So we pray for ourselves and others. Sometimes our hearing is sharp and acute, and our consciences labor as we reflect on what is going on in our lives and the lives of our community. On occasion, the words of forgiveness are like a cooling, healing salve on weary souls. That living word was deeply cut into our receptive spirit, and we can hear. Sometimes we sit here as though chiseled in stone, buffering and protecting ourselves with this kind of hardened exterior. We can't, and sometimes we won't hear. We don't want the seeds of life giving in or getting too near to us. We don't want the commitment that that would be. On other occasions, we're just like my son Andrew before the finals. Fear or love or whatever it is cuts through, and we become desperate for what this word can do for us. Then there's other times when we're completely surprised and caught off guard by the power of this word, a kindly call from a friend that lightens our load, a favorite hymn we hear and it brings us to tears, a plant or a cupcake left on the doorstep lifts us up. An online prayer aims straight at your heart. And we wonder why. Because it's that great mystery. But sometimes, just sometimes, we hear. And then God's love and this world makes sense to us. And something new sprouts forth. And we're glad. My friends, the power of God is a great simplicity in this complicated world. God's word is being spread in our midst with a broad sweep of the arm and a quick flick of the wrist. And some falls on the path, some on rocks, some in the thorns. But sometimes God's word hits and is right on target, and we hear. Dare we pray for a receptive soul, for ears that hear, and then stand back and watch. Today, now, this word brings forth great fruit in our midst. Amen.